countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Follow our new Weanling Watch series for expert analysis and commentary from thousands of cattle sales weekly.
Now, my next guest is one of the most influential people in Irish agriculture. Chagask is the state body responsible for conducting scientific research into farming and advising farmers on how to implement best practice within the farm gate and teaching students about farming in their various colleges. Professor Frank O'Mara is the new director of Chagask, a position he took up only a week or so ago. You're very welcome to the studio. Good morning, Frank.
Thanks very much, Damien.
Good to have you. You grew up on a farm in Tipperary, so I'm sure that gave you a good grounding to where you now find yourself.
Absolutely. A little place called Lisrona near Clonmillan, South Tipperary, a small dry stock farm. You know, I come from fairly humble beginnings. And look, I would have loved to have been a farmer, but the farm wasn't big enough, really, I suppose. And my parents had a huge value in education. They never, you know, so they very much encouraged me to go to college. And off I went to UCD. And of course, once I got to Dublin, you know, really loved it up there. Studied ag science. And, you know, the state obviously involved in agriculture, lectured in UCD for a good few years, actually worked in industry, for a couple of years in Charlie Winds in Kildare. Had a great time there as well, learned a lot. And but for the last 15 years, I've been back in Chagask, and I've been heading up the research side of Chagask for the last 10 years or so. And now, very privileged position to be in as director of Chagask. You know, we touch the lives of so many people, so it's I'm delighted to be there.
Like, you have a big job in hand, and when you were growing up on that small farm in Tipperary, you'll remember, and I don't know, did you ever take part in them, the farm protests like we saw all over the country yesterday? We saw them taken to the streets, worried about what their future holds. It's part of your remit to advise farmers to deal with what's coming down the road, Frank, and teach the next generation of farmers in your colleges, as I was saying at the start. How do you manage expectations, and where do you see Irish agriculture in, say, 20 years' time?
Yeah, well, look, Damien, I suppose agriculture is always in, you know, met with different challenges. You know, back as long as I can remember, there have been challenges facing agriculture. Now, I suppose we have big challenges, as we always do, around incomes and farmer livelihoods. And in particular with CAP reform, that's going to impact very, very significantly on a certain cohort of our farmers. But we have a number of environmental issues that all seem to be coming to a kind of a crescendo at the one time, whether it's water quality or climate or ammonia. So, you know, there's big challenges there. But look, there's also big opportunities. And the way I look at it is, you know, we have a world with a growing population. We've never had as big a population. It's going to grow another couple of billion. So the demand for food is absolutely there. Mm. And I think also, you know, very much there's a growing demand for the type of food we produce here in Ireland.
Which so is the demand for beef and dairy growing globally?
Absolutely, absolutely. And in particular, the demand for food produced in a family farm setting on grass-based systems, okay, if it's livestock. So the fundamentals are good for our industry.
Yeah, because some of our listeners will be perplexed, and they'll be thinking, you know, are we not moving to a more plant-based diet, and should we not be cutting down on meat and milk production and growing more vegetables and growing more trees and rewilding instead in this country? Are those feasible alternatives into the future? Do you see that happening? Do you see the landscape of Irish agriculture changing significantly away from livestock production?
I don't see it changing significantly away from it. I think, you know, Ireland, our competitive advantage in agriculture is livestock production. So, look, that's where I think we're going to remain. We obviously are also have other very important enterprises, whether it's tillage or horticulture. And I'd love to see those enterprises, you know, growing in strength, because I think they have an important role. And I think really for me, it's very important that we have a diversity in Irish agriculture. It's not just a one size fits all industry or a one enterprise. While beef and dairy are our two biggest enterprises and will remain that, in my view, I think it's very important that we have strong sheep, strong tillage, strong pig, a good forestry sector, and as I said, strong horticulture sector as well. And obviously the equine sector is there as well, as a very important sector in Irish agriculture.
So you don't see the percentages shifting all that much in terms of dairy, beef, tillage and so on?
Not dramatically, because look, our competitive advantage is actually in growing grass. And so dairy, milk and meat production are going to be our two predominant enterprises, I think, for the future. And even, you know, globally, I actually had a meeting yesterday with the World Wildlife Forum. And, you know, they obviously would take a view that we should have less animals in agriculture. agriculture. But I think they agree that the type of grass-based system that we have is actually quite a sustainable system. Obviously, we have issues with regard to greenhouse gas emissions and water quality that we have to deal with. But fundamentally, you're not eating food that other people could eat in a grass-based system. And that's the fundamental of a sustainable system.
Yeah, you mentioned it there. There is a slew of regulations coming down the tracks to make food production more sustainable. And we'll see what the carbon budgets will be, for example. Now, agriculture, it does account for a third of emissions in this country. And the critics are saying, Frank, that not enough has been done to decarbonise in the ag sector. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, well, look, first of all, agriculture is a big part of Ireland's greenhouse gas emissions. And that's just by virtue of the size of the agriculture industry relative to our population. We have one animal, or we've over one animal, nearly 1.6 or 7 livestock or bovines for every person in this country. In the UK, they share one bovine between 6 or 7 people. So it's just we have a big agriculture industry. There's a lot that is being done, and there's a lot more that can be done in relation to reducing emissions on livestock farms. We've just rolled out the Signpost Farm Programme earlier this year. That's a collaboration with all the dairy and meat industry mm-hmm. and other partners as well to set up a network of over 100 demonstration farms, farmers' farms that will implement best practice in relation to emissions and other environmental practices while maintaining their production and profitability. And we will use those to demonstrate how we can, move agriculture in the direction that's needed to reduce emissions.
So these are the kind of research farms where you'll implement latest research to reduce emissions, and then if it's successful, you share that with other farmers.
Yes, but like they're farmers' farms, and ultimately the farms make the decision. So we will work with farmers, support them to kind of come up with a plan for their farm as to how they can implement the practices that will reduce emissions on that's suited to their farm. Because one thing about farming is it's not a one size fits all type industry. Farms have different structure, different soil type, different topography, and so on. So you need a localised or a local solution.
Yeah, like a farm in your native county and a farm up in Leitrim or Cavan would be completely different in terms of soil quality and all that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Dairy expansion post-quotas combined with all those recent EPA reports on water quality, as you mentioned, and biodiversity loss lead to the baseline conclusion that something drastic needs to happen to stem these trends. What do you say to dairy farmers, Frank, who borrowed money to expand after quotas were abolished or are planning expansion? Because, as the EPA says, it cannot be a case of business as usual.
Yeah, well, look, I don't think what we're saying now or what I would say now would be different than what we'd say all the time. If you're going to invest money, look, make sure you have a sustainable plan for the future. And the first part about expansion or investment is make sure your current enterprise is running as efficiently as it can. So efficiency before expansion or investment. So, I think we have had a lot of expansion in the dairy industry since mm-hmm. quotas were removed. I think that has been fantastic. And we've seen a lot of people being able to get into the industry for the first time in over 30 years. You know, we had 30 years of milk quotas.
Do we need to slow that expansion down now?
Well, look, I suppose our own projections would suggest that's going to slow down at some stage anyway. You know what I mean? We've projected out how we think animal numbers will go for the next decade or so. And we would see at some stage a levelling off is going to happen in relation to the dairy industry. At the moment, there's still a lot of appetite out there for people to get into it or for people to expand. And we would say that, look, you've got to have a plan around the future proofing of that expansion to make sure that you're doing that in a sustainable manner that's going to fit with the way we'll be farming for the next couple of decades.
But water quality is quite a big issue, though, isn't it?
It is a big issue, and we have to improve our water quality. There's no doubt about that. And there's a consultation period just finished in relation to what measures might be taken on farms, and the department will be finalising their proposals.
That's the Nitrates Action Plan.
Yeah. And I think we have to do a bit more. We can't continue if we continue to do the same. We'll get the same outcome. So we are going to have to look at how we use fertiliser and nutrients on our farms.
Yeah.
And the minister has, you may have seen, he's just asked us to do a review of fertiliser use on farms, and that's in the context of rising fertiliser prices, but also the issues around the impact of fertilisers on the environment.
But by the way, when we hear lots of talk about, you know, intensification and expansion in agriculture in Ireland, we sometimes might lose our way and get a picture painted of, you know, factory farming and industrial size size farms and all of that sort of thing. What are the statistics on the size currently now of dairy and beef farms in Ireland?
Yeah, so look, the average dairy farm in Ireland is somewhere around 85 dairy cows.
85?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, in an international context, that's quite small. You know, you go to our maybe our most similar grass-based country, New Zealand, the average size there is probably 350 to 400. You go to America and, you know, you can find indoor intensive feedlot.
What's the average beef farmer?
The average beef farm, suckler farm, probably has about, 15, 16, 17. Suckler cows, so they're quite small in scale in an international context, and you know even the intensity or the average stocking rate on Irish farms is low by international standards.
Okay, and just when you say that dairy farms, you know, they seem to be the ones that are expanding, they're the ones that are profitable. It's the business to be in if you want to make money as a farmer. Suckler farming, completely the Cinderella industry, it seems, of Irish agriculture. What future is there in that sector?
Look, I think there's a very strong future for suckler farming in Ireland. It's a very important industry. We have about 70,000 suckler farmers in the country. They're in every parish of the country. They produce a very high quality product. There's a lot of demand for that product. And certainly, yes, look, suckler farming, it's challenged by profitability, but it's a very resilient sector. And you know, we have an awful lot of suckler farmer clients in our books, and we're there to support them. And I think they're going to be around for a very long time to come.
You mentioned forestry a little bit earlier on. We're so far behind the rest of Europe when it comes to forestation in Ireland. Why is that? And can you try and do something to encourage more farmers to plant more trees?
Yeah, so look, we
and native trees.
We have about 10 or 11% forestry in the country now. When I was going to school, that was about 4%, and you know, previous to that, we were down around 1% forestry in the country. So while we have low amount of forestry by European standards, we still have a lot more than we had in the past. And look, I think there is an appetite out there for more forestry. There's certainly difficulties around, you know, the regulations around planting and so on that the department are working to mm-hmm. streamline, because the targets are that we would like to see more forestry being planted. And I suppose, look, you know, the reason there's not more maybe is that farmers want to, by and large, they want to produce food. That's the type of farming they want to be involved in. And ultimately, it's their choice. And but anybody that does want to get into forestry, you know, we've got a good service there in relation to providing them information and support in that.
And what about organic farming? It seems to be the forgotten child as well, that we should be maybe concentrating on pushing a bit more. Would you agree?
Yeah, look, and we have very low level of organic farming in Ireland. And again, look, for me, one of the reasons for that is we have a small population relative to our food production capability, and organic farming, you know, at least part of the drive for it is, you know, the whole local markets and the close to production type desire that consumers have. And when you're exporting most of your food, then it's hard to get that closeness to the consumer. But look, we have ambitious targets in set by government in relation to organics. The target is to triple it from around 2.5% of our land up to 7.5%. And we're working with organic farmers in relation to that. I suppose it would be an area where we would like to be able to devote more resources to, and we will be doing that over the in the short term to support farmers that wish to get into organics.
All right. Very briefly, Frank, the budget's next Tuesday. You are state funded. Do you need more money to advise farmers and do more research with all that's coming down the tracks?
Absolutely. Look, the challenges are very big, and I think it's going to take investment in order to deal with some of those challenges. We work with whatever resource the government makes available to us at the time. We'd love to have more. I'm sure there's lots of other people looking for more as well. But whatever we get, people can be assured that our advisors and our teachers mm-hmm. and our researchers will continue to do the best that they can to provide a top quality service to Irish farmers and food businesses.
All right. We've only touched the surface there in a lot of issues. But Frank, it's been great chatting to you. I want to wish you all the very best. You're succeeding Professor Gerry Boyle, who's stepping down from the position after 15 years. So maybe you have 15 years ahead of you in this job. Who knows after
Please
this?
God.
But anyway, thanks very much, Professor Frank O'Mara, the newly appointed Director of Chagas, for dropping by this morning.